Welcome to Out the Gate, a new podcast about sailing on and around San Francisco Bay. I'm Ben Shaw. I've been sailing nearly my whole life, and while I've cruised the South Pacific, the Pacific Northwest, the Mediterranean, and the Caribbean, I grew up and feel most at home in the waters of the Chesapeake Bay. But in 2012, my wife and I moved to her hometown, San Francisco, and I've had the opportunity to get to know a very different bay. I started this podcast as an excuse to learn more about San Francisco Bay, and I'm hoping to talk to some interesting people who can share knowledge and stories about local waters. My guest today, Heather Richard, has been sailing on San Francisco Bay for more than 20 years. As a charter captain out of Sausalito, Captain Heather is on the water nearly every day. She's been a mentor and a teacher to me as I've learned to navigate the bay, and I couldn't think of a better person to help get the Out the Gate podcast up and running. So let's get started.
My name is Heather Richard, and I am a mom, I'm a captain, I'm an artist, I am a community organizer. And we're on my boat. She's a 43-foot custom aluminum sloop, and we're getting ready to go cruising in October. But currently I use the boat as both live-aboard for my family to live on and also as my business, as a charter business.
How did you get into sailing?
So I think boats just sort of called to me from a really young age. I remember on a lake where my grandparents had a lake cottage, somehow we obtained this little sunfish with a rainbow-colored sail, and I just fell in love with it. And I remember going out when I was probably 4 years old and filling my cockpit with turtles and just learning how to sail kind of on the fly. I mean, I think we had some family friends that probably taught me a little bit here and there, but I was such a water baby. I was always in the water. I was always swimming. I just was completely drawn to boats. From a very young age, never stopped.
At 19, you got an opportunity to be a captain of a 50-foot boat in the Caribbean?
Yeah, that was
crazy.
Tell
me about how that happened.
So I went down to work for Sail Caribbean, which is a voyaging company that takes high school kids out on these week or 2 week or 3 week voyages around the Caribbean, and they use the charter boats in the off season, and they sail as a flotilla, so there might be like five boats in a flotilla with about 15 kids on each boat, and they teach the kids how to sail and navigate. And so I got hired to go down and be crew, and I had actually never sailed on a 50-foot boat in my life.
Never stepped foot on one.
I had been a competitive dinghy sailor. I put in like thousands and thousands of hours of sailing, but only on like little boats. And honestly, I maybe only been on a boat with an engine a handful of times. The best part about it, when I was bumped up to become a skipper, they put me with the mechanic from the moorings so that I could very quickly get up to speed with all of the engine, the electrical, the plumbing, all of the systems. And it was like the best thing. I learned so much, like, so quickly down there.
How many seasons did you do that?
I did that twice. Okay. And I would have probably done it more, but I was offered a job in Japan for the following summers, and I couldn't pass that up.
What was that?
So I worked for the U.S. Navy setting up a recreational sailing program for the base in Yokosuka. But at the same time that I was there, there was also a big trimaran called Lakota that was owned by Steve Fawcett. And he was getting ready and eventually did set off and do a set the Trans-Pacific record from Japan to L.A. It was this really big, super fast trimaran, 70-foot, I think, trimaran. We were zipping around Tokyo Bay playing with all these sails. It was the first time that I got a grasp on how apparent wind changes so drastically on a boat like that that's going so fast. We were tripping over every headsail we tried to put up. It felt like we were always going upwind in any direction we were actually going. We were creating so much wind. I mean, we were just flying around, and that was the first time I had sailed on any kind of like a super fast multi-hull. So that was a cool experience.
And you're doing,
25 plus, I think, on that boat, easily. I mean, it was... Wow. You're planning miles ahead for your maneuvers. I mean, we had to be ready to jibe miles ahead, but that's only like a few minutes. which was pretty cool. Yeah.
Good experience then for sailing here on the San Francisco Bay with all the traffic.
It was perfect. I came out here, and actually that was the following summer that I came out here. My next summer was a job at St. Francis Yacht Club coaching. That job I ended up staying for a full-time year-round position. I jumped from, you know, all these different experiences that led me to, once I got to San Francisco Bay, I realized that I could handle owning my own big boat. And so I bought a boat to live on.
What was that?
Oh, it was a piece of crap. But it was all I could afford at the time. It was a Seawolf. It was like a big, slow 40-foot catch.
What were your first impressions of sailing on San Francisco Bay when you got here?
The current was really tricky for me to wrap my head around because there's so many counter currents and it changes so rapidly throughout the day. And reading the water, I was used to reading the water as wind and just wind. And then all of a sudden, my whole understanding of the surface of the water was wrong. I mean, just wrong, because you're looking at wind against current and it's not the same.
It throws you off.
Oh my gosh, it threw me off so hardcore when I first got here. And it was a really a very harsh lesson, actually.
Was that frustrating?
Yeah, it was frustrating because I thought I was a pretty decent sailor. And I got here and I was flailing. For example, I made a really stupid mistake when I bought my first boat. I went off and anchored on a really hot day. I had like one day off in a month or something. And I was like, I'm going to take my boat and just go explore a little bit and go places where I don't go when I'm racing or when I'm coaching. I went to Angel Island on the backside, kind of around Hospital Cove. And I anchored in a good spot. And it was super hot and there was no wind. And I decided to swim ashore to go for a swim. So I jump in the water, and by the time my head pops up, I am like 5 boat lengths away from my boat. No joke. Wow. The tide was coming in. It was a flood, and I was going like up towards Sacramento.
Wow.
Really fast. And I swam for my life, literally. And I just made it to the far tip of where Raccoon Straits begins. But I couldn't get to the closest point of land to me because the current was pushing me away. Okay. And then I ended up with like a 2-mile walk to get back up to where I could drop back in the water and float to my boat. It was so scary. And I was by myself and I had no radio on me. I mean, I had a radio on the boat, but that didn't help. So super good lesson, super rookie mistake. I mean, big rookie mistake. Anyway, you know, the water's cold. I was freezing and panicking, you know, just like really panicking.
And then did you feel confident then getting back in the water to swim back to your boat?
No, I didn't. I sat there on the shore throwing things and watching them float away to try to judge how fast the current was going and whether it had changed direction or not. And I mean, I just sat there on the beach like watching things float around for about 15 minutes before I could build up the confidence to get back to my boat.
That must have been a good feeling when you got your hand back on the ladder on your...
Yeah, well, and I also knew I only had one shot to get the ladder because I was probably going to get sucked away faster than I could swim again. I still panic when I think about that.
You must be a strong swimmer.
Yeah, but not that strong.
Do you still have moments on San Francisco Bay where you are surprised?
The other thing that I really had to learn was with the fog. You know, I had studied it in navigation lessons, but I'd never actually had to take a danger bearing on anything. Mm-hmm. So a danger bearing would be you have your bearing of where you want to go, and then you have a bearing on something you don't want to hit, like Alcatraz, when you're crossing the bay in the thick fog and you're going from Pier 1, where I land often, to Sausalito. Alcatraz is right smack in the middle. You have to watch the currents and always pick the side that the current's going to take you away from Alcatraz instead of setting you onto the island. And then it's good to take a danger bearing so that you know if you steer more than so many degrees to the right, you're going to hit Alcatraz.
You have a red zone.
Yeah, you kind of have a red zone. And with the fog, if you're sailing with limited instruments, like no radar, that becomes really important. The fog on the south tower of the bridge, too. Every once in a while, I find myself a little closer to it than I think I am. It just looms all of a sudden and gives you a little fright. Even if you know it's there, all of a sudden shows up. Ooh, there it is. Yeah. I think the fog still makes me nervous.
And like on the road, there's the other guy out there.
Yeah, there's all these tiny little fishing boats that zip around super fast. And they, I think, sometimes are going way too fast in the fog. They just have this confidence that, like, oh, I know where I'm going, I'm going. And maybe they don't think about whether there's someone else out there.
You sail these waters a lot, San Francisco Bay. Mm-hmm. So you know them. Mm-hmm. But how do you navigate? Do you use a chart plotter?
I very, very, very strongly believe in keeping paper charts on board. I've had navigation go out on me in very bad situations.
Tell me what.
Okay, well, one time I got hit by lightning and everything went out. And one time off of Antigua, I was delivering a boat out of hurricane area, and we got caught by like an arm of it that passed over us. Well, we were experiencing hurricane force winds for a short period of time.
What size boat?
A 38-foot Beneteau. So it was not, it was a charter boat. It was not a heavily built boat. It was extremely light and bouncy and not worthy of sailing.
And you were going between
hurricane.
Where and where?
I was trying to get into the south end of Antigua, and I didn't feel confident going into the harbor. It was a whiteout. I mean, there was so much water in the air that I put my mask and my snorkel on because I couldn't breathe. We just decided we weren't really set up for with storm sails or anything like that. So we were just, at that point, we were motoring slowly into the seas so that we wouldn't go broadside. The GPS finally went out because we couldn't get a satellite signal through all that water in the air. So then I really didn't know where I was. And we had been writing down our position, thank God, on some paper charts. But we didn't have detailed paper charts of Antigua. We just had like a general, you know, Caribbean chart that showed where we were. But we didn't have a good paper chart to get into the harbor. So we just stayed out and waited until it was over.
How long did it take to blow itself out?
8 hours. We were out there just sort of slowly motoring for about 8 hours. It was supposed to be a 3-hour delivery to get into this safe harbor, and it ended up being like a 12 to 14 hour ordeal.
Wow.
So yeah, I always carry detailed paper charts, and I always still, you know, usually every hour still plot a position. If I'm in a place that I don't know, now on the bay, and I don't look at the charts anymore unless I'm showing somebody something, because I just know it. Every once in a while, one of the buoys will get off station, and then I'll go back and look at the chart and look at where it's supposed to be.
But that's great. You know that the buoy's off station.
I knew it's
station.
On station, so,
like, what's up here?
Yeah, like, what's going on? I've even called it in a few times to the Coast Guard, and then I hear other people calling it in, too, and it's like, oh, yeah, okay. I definitely do know where I am.
I'm not going crazy. Mm-mm. It's the buoy. It's the marker that's off.
Yep. It's happened more than once.
So how long have you been sailing on the bay?
I got out here in 2000, so 18 years.
What changes have you seen in that time?
The water appears to be much cleaner. There's a lot more wildlife, which is great. A lot more wildlife. Like, dolphins are everywhere now. We used to only see them at the gate or down Crissy Field, and now I see them in the South Bay, and you see them, you know, around Tiburon and Paradise Key. You see them every once in a while. You can see them even on the backside of Treasure Island over by the new span of the Bay Bridge. I've seen dolphins lately.
You have been running a charter company with this boat for how long?
This is my fourth season in business.
So tell us a little about Caradon.
Caradon's a really unique boat. She's a 43-foot custom aluminum sloop. She was home-built in Indiana. She sails really, really well. Mm. Just really easy to sail, easy to handle, light touch on the helm. I can really handle the boat by myself easily.
One of the things that impresses me most about your charter business is you're taking this boat out daily, sometimes twice a day, a lot of times twice a day on charters.
Sometimes three times a day.
But this is your home. You're living aboard it. Not only are you living aboard it, but you're living aboard it with your children.
My three kids, yeah. So
ages?
14, 12, and 3.
Some people are going to hear this and go running, screaming in horror.
I know.
How do you run a business, have a charter,
Well, so this is one of the reasons why I set it up this way, is because I can actually set up my own schedule. So I'm not working for somebody else. I can take days off when I want to take days off. If the kids have some cool field trip, I can be a driver and go spend the day at school with them and just block that day off and not book it. And my 14-year-old now is old enough to actually babysit the 3-year-old, and the 12-year-old comes out and cruise for me a lot. A lot of the time I book charters when they're in school, and they wouldn't be here anyway. And then on the weekends, they can go with Dad.
What are some of your favorite things about sailing on San Francisco Bay? They could be favorite parts of the bay or aspects of sailing on the bay.
I love that everywhere you look is a beautiful view. Like, every direction you look is interesting to look at, especially leaving from Sausalito. So the second you get out of Sausalito into the bay, there's that iconic Golden Gate Bridge. And then the city front is beautiful. I mean, it's just it's a nice cityscape to look at. It is a big city, and it has changed a lot since I've been here. Downtown has gotten so much bigger. The Bay Bridge is beautiful. The new span of the Bay Bridge is really beautiful, and it's fun to go under it. And then you look up towards the North Bay, and there's all these little islands that dot around, and it's just a pretty place. Like, I don't get tired of it. It's so pretty. And the fog is beautiful. And the sunsets are beautiful. The colors are beautiful. Angel Island is beautiful.
Highlights and lowlights. What comes back to you over those
years? So the highlights are definitely introducing new people to the water that have never been on a boat before. That's always a highlight. And then engagements are fun, are super fun. I've had a lot of engagements,
a lot of,
you know, will you marry me on board.
Do you usually know about those beforehand?
Most of the time.
Yeah.
So
you can help plan them a little bit. Get them in the right position.
Yeah, make sure she's not getting seasick.
Oh, gosh. Have you had that? It was like, on the line. Should he propose? Should he not?
Yeah, I've had that. Yeah, where we had to, bail out on trying to do it under the Golden Gate Bridge because the swell is just ridiculous and go somewhere really calm. I have had
Yes,
that.
Honey, I'll marry you.
No, it doesn't work so well. But we've had, those are definitely highlights for me. And lowlights is just when I have to motor to stay on a schedule, that darn schedule thing.
Mm. Do you still love the sailing, even though it's a job for you?
I do. Yeah, I do still love it. I might not say that if I were doing it for 20 years now, I might not love it. But, you know, I know people, I know captains that have been doing it for 20 years and they still love it. You choose this as a lifestyle. You don't make a ton of money at this. So you better do it because you love it. I do love the meeting people and the interpersonal stuff that happens when you're introducing people to sailing for the first time, especially. And I do love being outside. I'm not stuck behind a desk. Yeah. And that's awesome.
You are not going to be chartering in a few months. Your plan is to
transition to cruising. Yeah, it's a big transition. The boat has been set up for chartering, which means I like to have the decks clean and clear and have everything look really shipshape all the time. And we've got to have a dinghy and kayaks, and all those things need to come on board and get stowed. And we're going to transition our sail plan, because right now I have the sail plan set up for heavy wind San Francisco Bay summer sailing. It's you know, we usually have a double reef in the main and a tiny little high cut Yankee jib. I'm gathering spares for everything. We're on solar already, so that's not going to be much of a transition, but I am going to switch to lithium batteries before we go. So that'll double our battery capacity without adding more weight.
What do you want to talk about that we haven't discussed yet?
You know, I think I would like to say a word to the women sailors out there that, I've been doing this by myself, and I've certainly, learned to ask for help and learned to ask for advice. And most of that has come from the men around me that know more than I do over the years. But if you sail with a partner, don't just always defer. It's great when both people on board can find things that they're good at. And sometimes women drive better than men. Sometimes women you know, understand sail trim better. It, there's this assumption of like the man's role versus the woman's role, and they get sidelined, I think, sometimes.
Relegated to the galley or...
Yeah, yeah. Or like your job is to take care of the kids while I sail the boat. Mm-hmm. No, that doesn't have to be like that. And I think that if you enjoy doing something, if you enjoy driving, then you drive the boat and let him handle the dock lines. Or if you don't, if it scares you and you don't enjoy docking the boat, then get really, really good at something and take ownership of that part of it. Learn electronics. Learn the navigation. Take ownership of something that is fun for you and make that your thing, because I see so many women sidelined into a typical female job on a boat, and it doesn't need to be that way.
And then it becomes the so typical tension of, this is his thing.
Right.
I don't really enjoy it, but I go along because it makes him happy.
Yeah. And the other thing is, if you own a boat with somebody, you should be able to take your girlfriends out sailing. It should be your boat just as much as his, you know? And if it takes just going and taking some classes, take the classes.
Heather, thank you so much for joining us and telling us about your charter business and cruising. And I really hope to catch up with you as you're out there sailing.
Yeah, well, we're going to try to put together our own channel and put our lives on the internet.
Where do people find you right now?
Findayforsailing.com.
Findayforsailing.com.
Thanks for listening to Out the Gate, the podcast about sailing on and around San Francisco Bay. I'm Ben Shaw, the host and producer of the program.